feel after the devil has shot his best shot, you know that there is a new season right on the horizon. After the devil has shot his best shot, you may weep all night long, but in the morning, joy gonna come. After the devil has shot his best shot, hallelujah, and you on your way to the graveside because it's dead and your generation is over. God says, I want to interrupt the progression to the graveside. Hallelujah. I want to put wise men. I want to put reason priests out of business. I want to put Cochran out of business. I want to put all these morticians out of business, because you ain't burying nothing that God is still ministering to. You're not burying nothing that God is still talking to. You're not burying nothing that God still has his hand on. He got his hand on me. He got his hand on you, and he still wants to bless you. He still wants to use you. He still wants to move in your life. I don't interrupt the children's church. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Don't bury it just yet. Don't bury it just yet. Don't bury your marriage. Don't bury your children. Don't bury your job. Don't bury nothing associated with you. Don't bury it just yet. Because God says, I want to interrupt the flow to the funeral house. I want to interrupt the procession to the funeral house. And I want to let you know that I'm not done with you yet. I'm not done with you yet. God is not finished. God is not finished. Please be patient with me. God is not finished. But when God can finish, hey! He not finished. Go ahead and prophesy to your neighbor. Tell him, God not finished with me. He not finished with me yet. He not finished with me yet. He not finished with me yet. Don't count me out. God not finished with me yet. Don't count it over. God not finished with me yet. He still got a hallelujah. He still got a praise. There's something on the inside, moving on the outside, brought about a change in my life. Take up your bed and walk. You can do what the devil said you couldn't do. You can be what God says you could be. You are who God says you are. You're blessed in the city and you're blessed in the field. You're blessed wherever you go. Everything you got is blessed. God's hand is upon your life. His spirit is within you. And whatever you do, it shall prosper. You like a tree planted by the rivers of water. Your leaf shall not wither. And whatsoever you do, it shall prosper. It shall prosper. I'm like a tree by the rivers of water. Whatever I do, it shall prosper. Because God is on my life. God is in my life. Hallelujah. And he's in your life. Don't bury it just yet. Because God is not finished. Don't bury it just yet. Because God is not finished. Hallelujah. Somebody say, arise. 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 Speak to your finances and say, arise. Speak to your family and say, arise. God's not finished. God's not finished. Hallelujah. In Jesus' name. Amen. And amen. And amen. You. Who told you you was a grasshopper? Who told you you was a grasshopper? Think about it. They said, we're like grasshoppers. They was in Egypt when those grasshoppers came. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. And when they came and ate up everything. Uh-huh. And yet they saw the destructions when the grasshoppers come in a great number. They saw the destruction that they did. And they said, even at that number, we're still not strong enough to take out the enemy. God showed them what he could do. But you could get to a place where you're so connected to the earth that you can't see, hallelujah, what heaven wants to do, hallelujah. But this is what I love about God and love about God's grace. God doesn't leave us floundering, we're connected to the earth, but he still consistently shows us heaven. And he says, but praise God, when you walk through the waters, because I know you're still struggling with some stuff. He says, hallelujah. And like a Bishop Jones says, Noel Jones says, when you get through this junk, hallelujah, when you make it through this mess that you're going through right about now, hallelujah, God says, I'm still going to show you what I prepared for you, because I haven't canceled your assignment. He said, don't bury it just yet, because you're not finished. You're not over. Don't count you out. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And this blessing is so strong, it's going to take God 7 years. It's going to take him 7 years. Because he got to move on earth time. It's going to take him 7 years. Now, he could do it in one day on the spiritual side. But it's going to take 7 years. Not to get the stuff out of you, but to get the stuff to you at such a rate. Praise the Lord. It's going to move you from one status of the spiritual tax code into another status. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. You know, there is a place where you can live just off your interests. You don't even need an income. Just off of your interest. Now, how many is living? Don't raise your hand, because I know I ain't. How many is living? Come on. Off of your interest, you don't even need an income. Come on now. That's all right. Because 7 years from now, hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. I promise you, it won't be the same 7 years from now that it is right now, because we said, Lord, don't bury it just yet, because it's not over. He that has begun, he that began the beginning but never had a beginning, he that has begun, he that has begun a good work. That's a finished work. That's not a dead work. That's not a wicked work. That is a good work. That's the finished work. That's where he says, so let it be. And it was. And God looked at what he had created. And he said, good. And he looked at you that he created. And he said, good. And he called you out of darkness to walk in the marvelous light. And he says, for this next 7 years, because you made it through the previous 7 years, you made it through the famine, I told you, your worst days are behind you. I told you by the Spirit of God that your worst days are behind you. You've been through the hell. You've been through the fire. You've been through the flood. But God says, I got plenty in store for where you're going. Like God told Abraham, now I know. Because the devil has shot his best shot. But somehow or another, you keep on praising him. God has shot the devil shot his best shot. But somehow all another, you still continue to lift your hand. Somehow another, after the devil has shot his best shot, you're still able to raise your foot to give him praise. Somehow or another, after the devil has shot his best shot, you're still able to churn up and wind up in your spirit a hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Amen. After the devil has shot his best shot, you still somehow, late in the midnight hour, God gonna turn it around. Hallelujah. People fell out like they was dead. Because flesh can't handle. That's why when Moses asked, let me see your face, he says, your flesh can't handle. You can't handle it. So I'm going to just show you my presence. Because in the presence of the Lord, there is fullness. Just his presence. You ain't even seen his face. You just got a part of him. You saw his backside. And you just, oh my God. God, that's all your flesh could take. God is moving us, praise the Lord, hallelujah. In these 7 years of plenty, that you're going to have the plenty, this is not even a word. The plentifulness of his presence. See, you're still feeling that draw from your natural. See, most time we talk about heaven. We talk about the kingdom. We talk about what Jesus has done. But because of our sometimes greater connection with the earth, with the natural, sometimes it takes the majority of the service to even get to a point of believing that God is able. He's already finished. But sometimes just working through the thoughts and traveling through the desert, through the forest. When we used to do land navigation, and I don't know why they did it in the forest, what you had to do is that you get to an obstacle. You had to then count the number of steps that you took to go around the obstacle, the number of steps that you took to get around the obstacle, so you can get back on the track that you need to be on in order to keep going. Yes, so the Lord helps us to get around the obstacles, but to stay on course. So he says, when you go through the waters, come on, preacher. What else does he say?
Amen. When thou walkest through the fire, thou shalt not be burnt, neither shall the flame kindle upon thee.
Ooh, I'm hearing Abednego. What? He says, see, it was designed to bless you. But because we're still connected. See, when God used the fire, when God used the water, it was designed to bless us. That's why we have water baptism. That's why we have the washing of his word. That's why we have the fire that purifies us. All those things that God uses in relationship to those two elements is how that he purifies us, how that he makes us, how that he burns inside of us. Hallelujah. But what the enemy does, he tries to use it against us. The very thing that God uses to bless us, the enemy tries to use to curse us. So what God says, because I know you're still connected to the natural, he says, I'm going to bless you in the spirit so that you can understand that greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world still trying to get your attention. He says, don't count it out if I haven't counted out, but you need to keep on going because God says you're getting ready to get the greatest interruption of his presence that you've ever had before. And when you get it, stop where you are. Hallelujah. Stop where you are. Listen and see what God says. Do you see the complexities in that scripture? Jesus says, young man. Jesus says, you didn't catch it. He didn't say old man. In essence, the natural progression is you get old, you're going to die. But he says, no, young man. In essence, it was premature. And we don't know how young he was. But he says, young man. So some things that we have somewhat adverted to the graveyard, it's been premature. God says, first of all, I want to speak to your youth. He didn't ask him what age he was. He said, I want to speak to your youth. And say, young man, I say unto thee. And he could not deny who was talking to him. Because I love this. Because in this case, the Bible says, and the Lord, not Jesus, but the Lord. Yes, sir. Well, we know Jesus is Lord.
Yes, sir.
But it specifically uses the term the Lord, Adonai, the Lord, Elohim. Yes, the Lord spoke to him and said, young man, see, the Lord of the covenant can speak over your life by the destiny that he know you still have. And he says you're going to achieve more in this next 7 years of plenty, because I'm calling you forth, and I'm calling you like Caleb said, give me my mountain. Even though I am the age that I am in the spirit, I still feel like a young man. Give me my mountain because you promised it to me. And what you promised to me, give me it. But then the Bible says the other 10 that went over with Caleb and Joshua, they said, we are like grasshoppers before them. See, you can see yourself like the enemy don't even see. So when we die in the Lord, that's why the scripture says, blessed are those who die in the Lord. Because in our death in the Lord, we lose connection with the temporary, the situations, the trials. And God knows when we die and live unto him, we can fully live connected to him, where we have no more sorrows being connected to the earth. You see that? So in essence, while we live, that's why the Bible says if we live unto him, we shall suffer the things, because we're still connected as long as we live on the earth to the earth. And yet we're still connected to God. So once we die, we actually enter into a life that's greatest that God has ever prepared for us, because we're no longer connected to the problems by which we were born into. But now we're able to live fully unto the Lord. That's why the Bible tells us to rejoice in the Lord, because now we are no longer connected to the issues or the problems that we had while we lived on the earth, but we are fully connected to the one who created us, who walked us through the problems that we were connected to give us a covenant with him, to abide with him forever. And he says the reward for you walking through the controversies of being connected to the earth is that you will be in covenant with me for eternity. He says, because you let me walk with you through what you was connected to on the earth, I will now be with me for eternity. In essence, you made it over because you didn't count yourself out, even though you knew you was going through. We are troubled on every side, but yet not perplexed, because I'm connected to two worlds. I'm connected to trouble, but I'm also connected to the throne. And God says, when you make it over by going through what you're going through, then I can rejoice with you. That's why he said, blessed are those who die in the Lord. They are rewarded because you finish. Hallelujah. You not only survive what you went through, but you thrive for what you went through, because you didn't count it out. Hallelujah. If God said it wasn't over, you still hung up in there. Praise be to our God. Praise be to our God. So what God does, he gives us glimpses. Come on, he gives us glimpses. He gives us glimpses. I want to help you with something. Come on, once you see him. When Paul got translated up into heaven, he says, man, I had some collard greens, some fat back, some black eyed peas, and cornbread. Cornbread. And went to sleep up on the roof. Y'all know I'm blowing it up. Went to sleep and I had a collard green dream. He said, whether I was awake or asleep, I don't know. But that fat back started talking to me, and I saw, when Paul saw heaven, it messed his ministry up the rest of the time. When Paul was translated into heaven, it messed his ministry up. Because what he saw, He didn't say, when I got to heaven, I seen Abraham, I seen Isaac, I seen Jacob. He said, no, I saw the Lord, and it messed me up. He came back from that translation from seeing God, and he said, look, it's good that for y'all I stay, but really, I ain't feeling y'all no more. I don't know what scripture said, but that's what he was saying. He said, really, I ain't feeling y'all no more. Look, I know God is still concerned about you. I know he wants these churches to go forward, but he shouldn't have never showed me. Come on. He done showed me himself, and I like what I saw. He says, and when I saw him, he says, for me to be here, to remain here, he said, it's good for y'all, but really, I ain't feeling it. When you see the Lord, I promise you, because we said the first thing, and I understand, I said it too, but I'm just telling you, the first thing when you see the Lord, say, I'm going to see my mom, I'm going to see my dad, I'm going to see, because see, you miss people based upon your still connection of your earthly relationship. Because see, we still connected to problems. You don't know what it's like to be in the presence of the pureness, of the sovereignty, of the holiness of God. We don't know what it's like on this side to know what it's like to be walking on streets of gold, to see the angels and the cherubims and all that God. We don't know what it's like. So all we know is what we're still connected to. Mama and them, I believe that Mama and them ain't worried about R.T. Jr. She ain't even thinking about me. Hello. She ain't thinking about me. Dad ain't thinking about me. All of my folks, they're not even concerned about me. Because they're in the presence of pure holiness. They're in the Shekinah that'll make you back up and lay down. They're in the Shekinah. See, when the Shekinah showed up on the earth, three, starting at verse number one, read by the incomparable, praise God, Elder Alton Allen, praise the Lord. Read, man of God.
But now, thus said the Lord that created thee, O Jacob, and he that formed thee, O Israel, fear not, for I have redeemed thee. I have called thee by thy name.
Mm-hmm.
Thou art mine.
Uh-huh.
When thou passest through the waters, uh-huh, I will be with thee.
Uh-huh.
And through the rivers, they shall not overflow thee.
Now, wait a minute. So when you pass through the waters, see, whenever you are drowning, it's the water, yes, that has the potential to kill you, but it's the ability not to be able to breathe. So the first thing that's taken or he addresses is the wind. And we know the wind is an association to the Holy Spirit. And so what's happening is that the thing that's supposed to bless you is now trying to work against you. But he says, just like he told for Peter, when Peter says, bid me to come, and he told Peter, come on, walk on this water. And the Bible says it's only when Peter started listening to those that was around him and took his eyes off of Jesus that he just began. The Bible didn't say he sank. It said he began to sink. His situation started to turn just a little bit when he started listening to those that was contrary to the faith that he was walking in. So he stopped listening. But this is what I love about it, because the Lord knows our human nature, and the Lord knows that we have a proclivity to listen to people when we're doing something that is absolutely physically impossible, but supernaturally that we're able to do. But you got to stay in the Spirit in order to walk in the Spirit, and you can yield to the flesh. And so as he began to sink, the Bible says that Jesus reached out his hand and picked him back up. Hallelujah. Because if you can see him, then he's close enough for him to handle you, to bring out your doubts, your fears, and your unbelief, to take you into what God has for you, and he will save you alive. Hallelujah. So he says, when you're going through the waters, because you're going through the waters, you're going through a situation and a circumstance that unless you call on Jesus, unless you call on God, you ain't going to make it through, because it's designed to kill you. It's designed to take you out. It's designed for the enemy to upset your life. Hallelujah. But if you lean on to God, God says, I take you through everything that you go through, because some things have made it to the graveyard. There's been some things in your life that has made it to the graveyard. But everything concerning you for the rest of your life, God says, don't bury that yet. There's some of you, praise God, your marriage has been buried. Hallelujah. Some of you, some friends have been buried. Some of you, some loved ones, my mom and dad, and a whole lot of other hosts of my family, they're in the graveyard. But praise be to God, he's still giving us life. He's still giving us hope. Ooh, I could talk about that, but I'm really not going to go there, because see, when we live in, let me just do this real quick. When we live in this flesh, we are connected to the earth, and the earth is our connection to this physical body, and we have to stay fully connected to the earth, yet we have the Spirit of God, and that's what connects us to heaven. The Spirit connects us to heaven. Amen. The body physically connects us to earth. Everything connected to the earth is subject to the things of the earth. It's all temporal. It's subject to disease. It's subject to disappointment. It's subject to all those negative things, if I could say. It's subject to the prince of this world, or the air, which is Satan. When we're connected like that. But when we're connected to the Spirit, to heaven, we're connected by the Spirit. So therefore, there is no sickness. There is no disease. There is no poverty when we're connected to heaven. The issue becomes that when we are connected to the earth, where there's temporal problems, circumstance, situation, at the same time, we're simultaneously connected to heaven, where there are no problems, there are no situations. God is king, God is rule, and all those things. The Bible says that Nebuchadnezzar had a dream, and he saw seven fat cows and seven skinny cows, and the skinny cows ate the fat cows, and he couldn't figure out what was going on, and so he went to his soothsayers, and nobody could interpret what was going on. So you don't need to run to the devil to ask the devil what God is doing. No, you need to go to God to find out, and God's people and God's prophets to find out what God is doing, because a good prophet, a God prophet, is not going to tell no lies about what God is doing or try to make up something to make you feel good, but they're going to tell you the truth. So what God was telling us in that, and I never preached from that, from this standpoint of invoking it into one of the messages, but we're getting ready to enter into 2020. But God says for the first 7 years to 2020 to 2027, the Bible says, according to what Joseph said, that you're going to have 7 years of plenty.
Yes, sir.
Hallelujah. And in the 7 years of plenty. So now what's that now? See, the 7 years of plenty is a precursor to the 7 years of famine.
Yes, sir.
So what they're telling us is, if he's telling us 2020 is the start of the 7 years of plenty, he's telling you, you just come out of 7 years of famine. Come on now. And so what you have had in the lack that's behind you, you getting ready to put in store for the years that are ahead of you. I know what the scripture says, but I just, you know, sometimes God will flip the script, because I know what he says. He says in the years of plenty, you need to store up for the years of famine. I understand that. But in the time that we live, because Jesus is so close, he says for the next 7 years, as you do store up, it's not going to be 7 years after that, because we don't even know if 7 years after that is going to be there. Hallelujah. The 7 years after the 7 years of plenty could be the 7 years of the tribulation, because Jesus will come back and there's sure going to be a famine then. But we won't be a part of that, because we're going to leave up out of this world full, because we're getting ready to enter into the 7 years of plenty. Hallelujah. And when you get it, Don't forget the God who brought you through the lean time to bless him when you get to plenty. He also flips the script, because I know what generally it is said. It said, in order to release this seed for what God is getting ready to do, you got to give a seed. But what I love what the Lord says to me is, according to the word of the Lord, he says, when you get it, give it. You don't have to release anything right now but your faith to believe that you're going to get it. So it's the activation of your faith and not your seed to initiate it. Can you just believe God for the 7 years of plenty? Can you believe God that for the greater part of 2020 to 2027? Hello. 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 Don't bury it just yet, because God is not finished. How many people counted you out? How many people said that it was over? How many people said you would never be anything? How many people said that, girl, you done too much? The blood can't cover all that. Hallelujah. But that devil is a lie. Praise the Lord. Because the scriptures tell us, hallelujah, from Isaiah 43. Hallelujah. You can't take notes now, man of God. You got to talk to me. Hallelujah. The scripture says in Isaiah 43, I say, I knew I need some help. Yes. Praise the Lord with the message. Amen. I was about ready to have you read, Psalms 18, was it? That what you sent me? I'm going to have you read, and we might get a chance to read that. If not tonight, we'll read it Wednesday. Praise the Lord. Because, see, y'all talking to me. Yes. Y'all saying, I don't know how you knew, yet we know how we know. Because we all got the same Holy Ghost. And the same Holy Ghost that'll talk to you in your living room or talk to me in the house of God. And we talking the same thing. Because we may not be going through the same thing, but we have the same God that'll help us to go through anything that we're going through. Hallelujah. To get to what he's prepared for us. Don't bury it just yet. Hallelujah, because God is still working it out. He's going to interrupt your service. He's going to interrupt the flow of what you've been going through in order to give you what he has for you. Hallelujah. So the Bible says, hallelujah, in Isaiah 40, I would get my ministerial book and I would read from my book these words. For as much as it has pleased the Almighty God to take out of this world. Hallelujah. I interrupt this service. What? You going to interrupt my service? We on our way. He's dead. Oh, my goodness. You mean to tell me that you're going to interrupt the service, Lord, when we're on our way to the graveside? We got everything set up. And the Bible says that, see, when the Bible says that verse 13, and when the Lord saw her. See, when the Lord saw her, the Bible says he had compassion on her. So he saw her, had compassion on her. Now come forward, sir. He saw her, had compassion on her, interrupted the service, and said unto her, weep not. He says, weep not. Because he's interrupting the service. So first of all, he speaks to the mother that lost her only son. And then he goes and he touches the bears who's bearing the boy. And as soon as he touched them, they stop. See, you need people in your life that know how to listen to God and respond to what he is doing, that's willing to walk close enough with you that even in what should naturally take place in the process of life or death will stop when God says stop. You need people close with you like that. So you don't need people faking in the mourner section, acting like they sad about it when really they glad. But you need people that's with you that's willing to stop and say, what is God going to do? Because all he told her is don't weep. Then he told them to stop the progress on your way to the grave. Then he goes to them that bear, they stood still, and he said unto the young man, he said, young man, I say unto thee, arise. Hallelujah. I say unto thee, arise. You was on your way to your grave. You was on your way to your finish. You was on your way that they counted you out. But God said, don't bury him yet, because it's not over till God say it's over. Hallelujah. And he that was dead sat up and began to speak. I wonder what the first words out of his mouth was thank you, Lord, because I thought it was over too. But God says, I want to interrupt this service. I want to interrupt your life. I want to interrupt your progression to your grave and tell you the gravity of God's word that he has for you. And he delivered him unto his mother. So get up and deliver. Hallelujah. And he delivered him unto her whole as but what he was before. Come on, give the Lord a hand of praise. Thank y'all. Carry your card out with you. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Come on, give the Lord a hand of praise. So I don't need this no more. Hallelujah. Isn't he wonderful? Isn't he glorious? Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Y'all get it, Elder Allen, a mic. He going to need that because he can read scripture for me. Just read the scripture, sir. Don't preach. Just read it. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Because God wants you to understand what's happening, amen, in this time and in this season. This will be a Christmas season like you have never known before that's going to elevate you to the next place that you need to be in preparation for the next decade of 2020 that's coming your way. Everything, praise God, hallelujah, that you deemed that was over, God said, don't bury it yet. Hallelujah, you need to renew your dreams, renew your hopes, renew your prophecy, renew everything that God has spoken to you in your life. Let it be so, because God has said, God has spoken, and if he's spoken it, it shall come to pass. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You made it this far. You might as well go a little further. You made it this far. You made it through the things that you have been through. You might as well go a little further. Hallelujah to the Lamb of God. Isn't he worthy of the praise? Isn't he worthy of the glory? Don't bury it yet. Don't bury it just yet. Don't bury it just yet. God is with us. I think it was either last Wednesday, Wednesday before last, he made us a promise. The Bible says God is not finished with you yet. And don't count yourself as being out when God is saying that you are still in. Praise the Lord. So here is Jesus, amen, and he says he came nigh unto the city. And there was a dead man being carried out, the only son of his mother. Now, I want you to understand something, that so he was graveyard dead. I'm trying to read you my notes and preach at the same time. He was graveyard dead and being carried out of the city on his way to his grave. The Bible delineates, amen, that he was the only son, praise the Lord, which meant that for the mother going forward, there was no one else left in her generation. This was not only the death of her son, it was the death of her seed. That her generation would end and there would be no more seed being sown for her generation. So this was a really big deal for this mother. And the thing about it is that I love this because she did not seek after Jesus. Jesus just happened to be coming to the city where they was. And I'm telling you that God is moving not only by the miracles, but by the principles of what he is telling unto us. That even when we're not oftentimes seeking for him, he is seeking for us because he says in this season, don't bury it just yet because I'm telling you that there's still some life left in your destiny. Hallelujah. So we have that here. Praise the Lord. Amen. So it was the end of her family line. No longer would she have any representation left in this world. She was a widow, and so therefore, again, had no more heir that was left in the line of her generation to support her. This was the end of her support. She had to now move into governmental support because there was no one in her house to bring it because God had no one else to work through. Her son had died. Now let me get about two or three or four or five mourners, amen, to stand behind here. Just line up here facing that way, amen, as we're on our way to the gravesite. It don't matter who it is, amen, young, old, amen, rich, poor. Hallelujah. Amen. Just come. Yeah, that's it. Now, if y'all really want to get dramatic, I mean, you can play the role, you know, in the sense of it's a funeral. Oh, God. And there are mourners. It says this in relationship. Yo, boy, I love y'all. It says this in relationship. It says much people was with her. So in essence, they had popularity, they had favor, they were well known in the city. And all right, that's enough. And there was much people with her. Now this implies that they again was well known family, that many people had was walking with them in her grief. And now let me help you with this right here. Because see, when people are coming to your service to grieve with you, everybody that's coming to your service that's supposedly mourning for you is not necessarily sad that you died. In essence, you're always going to have some haters that's actually, though, that they're in the midst of the mourners. They're actually not sad you dead. They actually, see, Satan is glad that he no longer have to contend with you when you're on your way, amen, to the graveside. But when you know Jesus, praise God, he said, don't bury that yet. And see, what God will do, he will let Satan think that it's over only for the standpoint, hallelujah, to move mightily in your life. Hallelujah. So everybody that's mourning for you, they're not sad you're gone. Some people are glad that you no longer, amen, are there. But the Bible says that a multitude of people gathered with her to say, oh, we so sad that he's gone. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So now watch this. So now here, though, is what I would commonly do in a regular homegoing service. Lord, amen. And we didn't have no time to rehearse, so we're just going to try to pull it together. But let me read you the scripture first from where we're coming from. Let me give you the title, and then I'll put people in their place. Amen. I'm also going to need about five or six or so mourners, amen, to help me to bring this together. Amen. Somebody shout, it's not over. To God say it's over. Hallelujah. Mm-hmm. To who say it's over? Does he have the weight to back it up? Okay. All right. All right. Don't fight me. Hallelujah. We ain't got started yet. Turn your Bibles, if you would, to want to just thank God for everybody. Amen. Oh, let me do this before we get started. Amen. I want to just give man of God, amen. Just greet the people. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Come on, talk to them. Hallelujah.
I would like to say thank God for being here, because if it had not been for him this day and every day that I have been around, I would not be here. But I thank God that I'm here in Redeeming Love, the place of champions, for we are the champions. We are God's chosen, and I thank God for it right now. I thank God for our leaders, Pastor McKinney and First Lady McKinney, and all the elders of the church. And I thank you for your prayers. And my wife, I would like to say, she is improving. Amen. And I thank God for it, because if it wasn't for him, she wouldn't be here either. And I thank God because we have been together for 49 years. And we thank God for it. And thank you for every prayer that you have sent up. In Jesus' name.
Amen. Love you. Love you. Amen. Praise the Lord. That's Elder McDaniel. For y'all don't know, amen. Mother McDaniels has been ill for a while, but, you know, to God be the glory. You know, the thing that I love about God and the thing that I love about ministry is that we walk with people, amen, all the way through, amen. And so we definitely give God praise, honor, and glory. They have been greatly challenged to be able to come to church, and but it's always good, amen, to see the man and woman of God and to see the family, amen. Anytime they come, we make a big deal out of it. Praise God, because God is a big deal, amen. And so are you, amen. You're just as important. So we thank God for each and every one of you, amen. If you have your Bibles, amen, turn your Bibles, amen. And one more time, if you're able to stand, as you stand one more time, to your feet, amen, for the reading of God's word. In the book of Luke's Gospel, the seventh chapter. Luke's Gospel, the seventh chapter. Amen. And starting at the 12th verse. Luke's Gospel, the seventh chapter, starting at the 12th verse. What'd I say? Luke's Gospel. No. Flip it. What'd I say? The seventh chapter? 12th verse. Okay. What'd you say? No, you said something. I think you flipped it over. Yeah, right. 7 and 12. All right. Now, when he came nigh to the gate of the city. Are you there? I love saying that. Behold, there was a dead man carried out, and the only son of his mother, and she was a widow. And much people of the city was with her. And when the Lord saw her, Oh, I said Jesus, but that's not what your Bible says. It said when the Lord saw her. We know it was Jesus, but he says the Lord right there. Anyway, he had compassion on her and said unto her, weep not. And he came and touched the bearers, and they that bore him stood still. And he said, young man, I say unto thee, arise. And he that was dead sat up and began to speak, and he delivered him unto his mother. And there came a great fear on all, and they glorified God, saying,
that a great prophet is risen up among us and that God has visited his people. May God add a blessing to the readers, the doers, the hearers of his word, and all of God's people said amen, amen and amen again. Before you have your seats, praise the Lord, I want you to look at your neighbor, amen, and tell them, don't bury it just yet. Now look at somebody that like you on the other side and tell them, don't bury it just yet. You may have your seat in the presence of our life-changing King. And at this time, I will have come take your place there, son, and our pallbearers, and just lay down. Yeah, just if you ever sleep in church, you can, yeah, you just have your way. Praise the Lord. Amen. I want to minister to you this morning on what I know that God is speaking unto us in relationship. Now, y'all just stand there, stand and face that way. Amen. We ain't had time to rehearse about face there, Captain. Yeah, yes, sir. All right. And, yes, sir. Now, I was going to have y'all carry it, but I know the brother might have a little weight on him, so we won't do that. Amen. We don't want to add to the sermon. All right. So, but very seriously, though, what the Lord is speaking to us is, don't bury it just yet. In essence,